Hey guys, it's Gail. I wanted to thank everybody for their well wishes and their sympathy on Instagram. We had planned to record a few episodes and get them out to you guys like for Halloween and just do some short kind of creepy stuff and not do like full on episodes. But then tragically and
Suddenly
and unexpectedly on October 19th, we had to put our dog to sleep like in the middle of the night. And so it kind of just took the wind out of our sails and we just weren't really able to participate in life for a few days. It was really hard for us. So we just want to say thank you for being patient and again, your well wishes and your condolences.
Yeah. Thank you guys. And thanks for your patience and being understanding of the situation. And without further ado, here is the episode. We're back.
Hi, Daphne.
Hello, Mom. Should we tell everyone about the really spooky fun weekend we had?
Oh, yeah, we could do that super quick.
Yeah, we went ghost hunting at Cheeseman Park. Yes. And if you haven't listened to Haunted Denver Metro Part 2, definitely do it. Got some pictures of some orbs. Pretty cool.
Yeah. EMF detectors.
Yeah.
Doing some weird stuff.
And we went to a pop-up Halloween bar.
Oh, yeah.
That was really cool.
The Burton Bar.
Yep. Had some Beetlejuice theme stuff in it, some Corpse Bride stuff in it, some Nightmare Before Christmas. It was a lot of fun.
Yes.
We killed the Nightmare Before Christmas trivia.
Yes, we did. And it's spooky season and we are making the most of it, clearly.
Because it's spooky time. And by the time this launches, be on the lookout for more episodes like ASAP. Okay, yeah. That's all I'll say.
That's all I'll say.
That's all we got to say. What's your disturbing fact for me, Mama?
My disturbing fact. Do you know how I love graham crackers?
I don't even think I want to know. Because I know you love graham crackers. I, too, enjoy a good graham cracker from time to time. I'm more of a savory than a sweet person, but I enjoy them because they're like cinnamon and it cuts the sweetness.
Right. That's my thing is I love cinnamon graham crackers. Originally, they were not cinnamon. They were not chocolate. They were not honey. They were not all the yummy deliciousness that they are, right? Today, although I'm not a big fan of the chocolate ones, but
you don't like chocolate Teddy Grahams?
Nope, I don't.
Okay.
I'm a cinnamon.
That's weird.
I'm a cinnamon girl. I could do without the honey ones too. If I have to pick, it's always going to be cinnamon. And then if it comes down to honey and chocolate, then it's going to be honey over chocolate.
Okay. I know I get that for sure. I personally enjoy the cinnamon the most as well. But like when I'm in the mood for sweet things, then like I want all the sweetness.
All of the sweetness. All right. So my disturbing fact.
I don't want to know.
Or it's just weird. Well, it's not gross. It's just fucking weird. Graham crackers got their name from a minister whose name was Sylvester Graham. It was the early 1800s, and he believed that consuming sugar, alcohol, and meat made people greedy, lustful, and sick. And so he made this cracker out of, like, it was super bland, right? It had all of just it was a vegetarian processed flour with just, like, no spices, no nothing. The blander, the better, right?
Right.
And so Graham.
No brown 40 either?
No brown 40. And so the original intention of the graham cracker was the anti-masturbation cracker.
Ew.
He believed that if people ate the crackers, that they wouldn't have lustful thoughts or feelings. And he just hated people.
And in turn, the graham crackers made them horny.
Well, I don't think so, because they probably tasted disgusting without any flavoring. But so he combined bran, wheat germ, and unprocessed wheat flour to make what is now a world famous graham cracker. But back then, it didn't have any sugar, didn't have any spice, and but people liked it. So he had this whole group of followers called Grahamites, and they all went and lived like in this commune kind of thing. Like,
where was this at?
Oh my gosh, you would ask me. I'm so sorry that I don't have that information.
I would ask you. You absolutely know that I would ask you.
No, I'm sorry. It was
you come like half-ass prepared for my questions.
Yeah, that sucks. I'm really sorry.
You know, all I do is ask questions. I'm like, why, mommy, why?
Why? Yeah. So anyway, so the Grahamites and Graham went and lived in their little
commune.
Yeah, and it's not a commune because it's the early 1800s, right? So he had, you know, a bunch of followers, and he developed this anti-masturbation diet, because I don't know why he was against people getting busy unless it was for procreation, and obviously against people getting busy with themselves.
Right.
And he basically had like a cult-like following. They built boarding houses and blah, 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 and all of that. And then he died when he was only 57 years old. So, you know, he wasn't drinking. He wasn't doing anything fun. Clearly, he wasn't masturbating.
So he didn't even get to enjoy his life.
Right.
Because he didn't eat sugar Teddy Grahams.
Right. Exactly.
Or graham crackers.
So despite all the health claims of his diet, you know, he died early. And then in 1898, the National Biscuit Company obtained the rights to Graham's crackers and decided to mass produce them sweetened with honey.
Okay.
So, yeah, then they went away.
That's the evolution?
That is the evolution. And then, of course, they had cinnamon and chocolate.
Okay, who is this company that bought it?
The National Biscuit Company.
Is that who makes chicken in a biscuit?
No, I think it's Nabisco now.
That is who makes chicken in a biscuit, I believe.
Okay, well, sure.
Well, I love chicken in a biscuit.
I also love chicken in a biscuit.
Because it's savory.
It's very savory. It's so good. Especially with some of that nasty-ass easy cheese on top of it.
Oh, dreams.
That's like, so gross.
That's what my heaven looks like.
Yeah.
The squeezy, easy cheesy.
You know, Graham's probably turning over in his grave knowing that his anti-masturbation cracker now maybe promotes masturbation.
His cracker
maybe promotes masturbation because you eat the yummy deliciousness and you get all excited.
Yeah, right?
Not me personally. I'm just throwing it out there.
My mom's like, I love cinnamon graham crackers. With this look in her eyes.
Right. And then do you love how the National Biscuit Company then added sugar and spice and all the things that Graham was like,
sugar and spice and all things nice?
Yes, everything nice.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's it. It's kind of...
That's what makes the world go round.
The anti-masturbation cracker.
Yeah.
The graham cracker.
Well... Okay, I'm sorry. This is like totally a sidetrack. There's this guy on TikTok. His name is Fishing Garrett, I think.
Get your facts right, Daphne.
Wait, no, it's not Fishing Garrett. It's Gray Davis. That's who it is. It's Gray Davis.
Okay.
And he's the one. I've sent you his videos. It's a beautiful day here in South Florida. Mm-hmm. But get out there and see what you can find.
Can you find graham crackers?
He harvested his own cinnamon the other day.
Oh.
And like showed how to do it.
That's cool.
Yeah, off of this tree. Did you know it's bark?
Sell it to Nabisco.
Did you know that cinnamon is bark?
Yeah, that's how come it's like rolled.
Yeah.
Like if you get a cinnamon stick, they like take it off the tree and they like...
It dries, it rolls itself dry.
Right, because they put it flat and yeah.
Yeah,
and when the moisture comes out of it, it goes...
But it's cool. I just thought it was really cool because I didn't know that.
It is really cool. I love me some cinnamon.
I love me some cinnamon too. Cinnamon sticks.
Cinnamon candy. Cinnamon dolce. Cinnamon dolce latte. Okay.
Well, cinnamon.
Yeah. We'll stop talking about
it's
cinnamon.
It's spooky girl cinnamon season. Screw the pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah. No kidding.
Not actually. Oh, yum. Okay. Sorry. We'll move on now.
That's okay. Daph, what's your case?
Today, I needed a change of pace from our usual... programming.
From our regularly scheduled programming.
Yeah, of murder.
Yeah.
I just needed like a little palate cleanser as well. I guess, I don't know if it's really a palate cleanser because it's still really sad and really dark. But I have the Waverly Hills Sanatorium.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, and it's more like history based, but like it's also really dark and grim.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess we can just jump right in.
Yeah.
So it's located in Louisville, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Louisville,
which I noted in my notes, ironically, that I was like, that was really hard for me to say because we have a Louisville in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Louisville.
Right. Louisville. I don't know. Because my Graham was lived. My Graham lived in Kentucky, Indiana, that like Kentucky first, then Indiana. And she called it Louisville.
Okay.
And everybody out there did.
That's odd.
It was just there. It's the dialect.
Here it's Louisville.
Right. Well, so, it's the dialect, regional dialect.
Yeah, no, I know. I understand that. It's weird for me since. Because here we have Louisville. Okay. Anyway, so the land that is known as Waverly Hill today was purchased by Major Thomas H. Hayes in 1883. So it was their home at the time.
Like the Hayes family lived there?
Yeah.
Okay.
They lived there.
It was a mansion-ish, right?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, it turned into a giant sanatorium.
Well, okay, I'll
shut the fuck up.
No,
go.
No. Okay. So this is in 1883, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he decided to open up a school for his daughters, like a one-room schoolhouse.
Oh, that's cute.
Because he was like, you know, the nearest school now was really far away from them. So he opened up this one-room schoolhouse on their property. And he hired the teacher, Lizzie Lee Harris, Miss Harris. And she was really fond of the books, the Walter Scott's Waverly novels.
Mm-hmm.
So she named the schoolhouse the Waverly School. And he liked it. He liked that it was peaceful sounding. So the name stuck.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it was Waverly Hill, except for at this time, I have this jumped down a little bit. But I mean, obviously, we know today it's called Waverly Hill Sanatorium.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way it's spelled when it was the Hayes Family School was Wave. I don't want to spell it out. W-A-V-E-R-L-E-Y. But they dropped the last E when it was Waverly Hill Sanatorium. I don't really know why, but they did.
I don't know.
It's unexplained why that happened, but just a little nod.
Little side note.
Yeah. So in the early 1900s, the area this was in was Jefferson County, which is where our Lewisville is in. Or is it in Boulder County?
It's probably in Boulder County.
You think?
Probably.
I don't know.
It doesn't really matter.
I don't
think it's in Jefferson County, though.
Okay. Anyway, they were experiencing a horrible tuberculosis outbreak, which is also known as the White Plague.
And consumption,
yeah. So TB is an infectious disease usually caused by Mycobacterium tuberculosis bacteria, which is shortened to MTB, the name of that bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that it generally affects the lungs, but can also affect other parts of the body. Most infections show no symptoms, in which case it's known as latent tuberculosis.
Mm-hmm.
But around 10% of latent infections progress to an active disease, which, if it's left untreated, kill about half of those affected.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty high mortality rate.
Yeah, I was going to say it was a big wiper outer of people.
Yeah. So typically the symptoms of active tuberculosis are chronic cough with blood-containing mucus, night sweats, fevers, and weight loss, which... I was like, oh, maybe I need some TB in my life. But then I was like, that's really fucked up.
Right? You want night sweats and hacking up bloody mucus?
No, not really.
Just the weight loss
part.
So probably other ways to go about that than getting tuberculosis.
That's how it got its name, consumption, was due to the weight loss associated with it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I was getting to that.
Sorry. You're the one that was like, hey. And I'm like, probably better ways to lose weight.
So infection of other organs is also common, but there's basically just a huge range of symptoms associated with TB. And it's the spread of it. I'm sorry. I'm just giving like a brief history, a brief little lesson on tuberculosis.
That's fine.
It's spread from one person to the next through the air. So it lives in the environment, right?
It's airborne.
Yeah. When people who have active TB in their lungs either cough, spit, sneeze, speak, any of the above.
Wow.
So basically, if they open their mouth and anything comes out, you're fucked. And people with latent TB don't spread the disease, but active infection occurs more often in people with HIV and AIDS and those who smoke. So diagnosis of active TB is based on chest x-rays as well as microscopic examination and culture of body fluids, which is just more common today than it was back then.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But diagnosis of latent TB relies on the tuberculin skin test, the TST.
Oh, yeah.
Or blood tests.
They still do that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, now there's a cure for it, if you will.
Well, there's a vaccine.
There's a vaccine as well as cures.
As a cure. As a remedy,
yeah, but sure.
Yeah.
So the reason why TB was so prominent in this area of Louisville, or how do you say it?
Louisville,
that's... Louisville is about as far as I can get.
What about Bonnie? Do we like
it's fine? It's Louisville.
You're good. It's regional dialect, and you say it how you
that was say me it. Punching my hand, by
except
the way.
Except for saying, don't say Louisville.
Yeah, exactly. So it was so prominent in this area because of the wetlands, which lived along the Ohio River in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the perfect environment for TB to grow. Like it's wet, it's gross, it's a breeding ground. And there's also a lack of fresh airflow because of this, like the swampiness, if you will.
The moisture.
Yeah.
The humidity.
Yeah, the swampiness. So the outbreak of TB, it prompted the construction of a new hospital, which opened in 1910. So the Board of Tuberculosis Hospital kept the name when they bought the land and opened the sanatorium. Again, they changed the spelling of it, but they decided to keep it because it sounded peaceful. And they also chose this property in specific because of its distance from the city. And it had like a nice tranquil view, high altitude with increased airflow. I just like to combine words anymore. I don't really know what's up with that, but it's fine.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
It's cool. It happens. It do be like that.
It does.
So to try and contain the disease, they built a two-story wooden sanatorium, which I don't know what happened to the original house in the schoolhouse, by the way.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what happened in that.
They knocked him down or if they just added to him.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
I don't know much about, I couldn't find really anything about
that. Why not? Why, Daphne? Why?
See, I preemptively answered your question. Yeah, so they built it out of wood because they thought that would stop like the flow of it. Mm-hmm. Right. And it consisted of the administrative / main building and two open air pavilions, which each were meant to house 20 males and 20 female patients. And for the treatment of the, quote, early cases of tuberculosis.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was intended, right, to accommodate then about 40 to 50 patients.
Right. Gotcha.
And it's really beautiful. The building is actually really pretty. So it has this kind of Tudor Gothic architecture to it. And now it's also on the National Register of Historic Places. Nice. So that's really cool.
That is really cool.
So in the early part of 1911, the city of Louisville,
however,
began to make preparations to build a new L City Hospital. Louisville City Hospital. And the hospital commissioners decided in their plans that there would be no provision made in the new city hospital for the admission of the pulmonary tuberculosis.
Okay.
And so the board of the TB hospital was given $25,000, which is a lot of money at this time.
Right. How much is that in today's money?
Didn't do the conversions. And I also didn't adjust for inflation. So then it was given this 25 grand, right, to build a new hospital, basically for advanced cases of TB.
Okay.
So in 1912, all tuberculosis patients from the city hospital relocated to temporary quarters in tents, like on the grounds of Waverly Hills.
Okay.
Which they were waiting, you know, for the hospital then for the advanced cases when that was going to be ready, right?
Gotcha. So they were camping.
Basically, but really sick.
Yeah. Shitty camping.
Yeah, not a good camping trip, I could assume. So in December of 1912, a hospital for advanced cases opened and it, like, accommodated another 40 patients. And so then in 1914, the Children's Pavilion added another 50 beds, making the known capacity to be around 130 patients at this time.
And you said children's.
Yeah.
So is it only kids?
They had a children's section.
Okay. That's so sad.
So, but it wasn't only for sick children. Okay. It was also for the children of TB patients who wouldn't get proper care otherwise because their parents were.
Aw, that's really hospital. Fucking sad.
It is really
sad. I mean, I guess they're being taken care of, but man.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's so fucking sad.
Yeah.
I'm like, you didn't even let me get there. Right. So all of these buildings are opening on the same property. Mm-hmm. They're just expansions to what was originally there.
Gotcha.
So the goal was to add a new building each year to continually grow so that there may have been more beds available for then, you know, what was listed above, which was my from 40 to 80 to 130.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Increased bed space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, making more bed spaces. So now let's talk a little bit about the tunnel, since we're kind of on like the architecture side of this.
Let's do it.
So the tunnel, it served as a passageway, which was used to transport bodies and supplies in and out of the sanatorium. It was built on the first floor with the rest of the building, but the corridor had a 500 or 600 foot drop to the bottom of the hill.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Like just a straight drop?
No. It like went down.
Oh, a decline. Okay.
A decline. Yeah, no, not a straight drop.
I'm like, jeez.
And it had a set of stairs on one side. And then, you know, obviously those stairs were used for people transporting things.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other side, there was a cart that moved up and down the staircase, which, you know, bodies.
Yeah.
Other heavy things.
Yeah, heavy things.
Bodies. So since the antibiotics needed to cure tuberculosis were not known or available at this time,
mm-hmm.
the sanatorium was obviously active with, you know, needing all forms of treatment for TB. So they used heat lamps, fresh air, positive talk, reassurance, trying to, you know, keep patients alive instead of them dying, because the death rate at this time was about one person a day.
Ugh,
from TB.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So that was like their holistic, if you will, approach
right
to TB, since they didn't have the resources that we have today for it. So this is really bad, but other approaches were more brutal to TB.
Great.
To treating it. So in some cases, some patients had their lungs surgically resected.
Ugh.
Which is partially removed.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you know what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
Or collapsed so the organ could, quote, rest.
Alrighty.
Isn't that horrible?
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a good treatment.
No, it doesn't. Like, let's just cut off a part of your lung or collapse it when this is like mainly affecting your lungs. What? And they had also put balloons in people's lungs and then filled them with air to expand them.
Okay.
You're making faces, not saying words.
I'm sorry. I'm just like trying processing. To think like, yeah, did they leave the balloons in there or did they just put a balloon in there and blow it up?
Like, so, you know, this often had bad results.
What? You don't say.
So they did an operation when they would do this to remove muscles and ribs to allow the lungs to expand to let in more oxygen.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that was often like the last resort when they had to remove people's ribs and put balloons in them and all the things.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, at least they're not doing
it. Because obviously, like, they're not going to survive it. Like, it said that, like, the mortality rate on that was, like, tuberculosis mortality.
Sorry. Why am I laughing?
It's horrible.
It's terrible.
I feel like we're laughing to, like, make it seem less real.
Right. To ease the awkwardness.
Ease the pain. Need to stop.
Get out of your system.
So at the peak of the disease, though, a lot of the people were seen being carried away, like the transporting of the dead were mm-hmm. happening in front of the living patients. And so they decided that with building the tunnel, they could keep the dead people out of the living people's view, which would hopefully like raise their morale and make them feel better. And so they ended up using the tunnel there, which doctors and workers also believed would help lower the infection rate, like the spreading of it.
Well, that
the contagion rate. What's
yeah.
the right word I'm looking for?
No, that's like, yeah, the yeah, contagion is good. But like if they're not actively breathing, then they're not going to be contagious anymore.
Yeah.
Most likely. I'm not a medical expert on tuberculosis.
Right.
But it would seem that if it's airborne through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seem that if you're not breathing anymore, you probably can't catch it from not breathing.
Right. But I get the not showing the dead people to the live people.
Yeah.
Because you'd be like, fuck, man, I guess I'm not going to make it.
I guess I'm next.
Right.
Or saying bye to your friends. Yeah.
Ugh.
Horrible.
That's depressing.
Yeah. It's so sad. So
this is your palate cleanser?
My face I made gets real good, though.
I need a graham cracker.
Because of the spread of TB at this time, still like we're talking about, we're kind of at the peak of the disease at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors, nurses, other staff weren't allowed to leave the grounds.
Well, that probably makes sense.
Yeah.
Although
so that way they're not spreading it out there.
Yeah. But do they know that when they take the job?
I don't know. I'm sure they do.
It's in their contract. Hey, once you're here, you're here.
Yeah. Once you're here, you're stuck. So, yeah, they weren't allowed to leave, and patients were mostly isolated from one another. But, like, obviously they still had, like, the staff's interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So the tunnel is also known as the body chute or the death tunnel for obvious reasons.
Wow.
But locals and paranormal investigators who visit the sanatorium, they're the ones who call it the body chute or the death tunnel.
Okay.
So they're the ones who coined that name.
Okay.
Before that, it was just known as the tunnel.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Did I present that to you correctly?
Yeah. So it was just a transport tunnel. And then people later on decided to just make it all about the death and not about, like, them also bringing the supplies in that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the enclosed tunnel led from the hospital to the railroad tracks at the bottom of the hill,
mm-hmm.
which, using a motorized rail and a cable system, the bodies were lowered in a secret waiting trains for them to be, you know, departed off the grounds.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just all around kind of sad.
Yeah, super sad.
But other than transporting the bodies in and out and the supplies and everything else, I guess they weren't transporting the bodies in, but you know what I meant. It also served, this tunnel also served as a temporary air raid shelter during World War II. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, unless you're going to get tuberculosis by just going in it.
I don't know if it is like that.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, if, never mind.
Yeah. I'm picking up a train down. If it's in the environment, if it's still in the air there.
Yeah, well, like, if people are going through there that maybe are contagious or, like, are infected. But not, I don't know, never mind. Fuck it.
Okay. So due to the rapid spreading of TB and the constant need for repairs on the wooden structures and the need for a more durable structure, as well as needing more beds because they kept turning people away, right? They actually began construction on a 5-story building, which had a capacity of 400 people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we went from having 130 now to 400. That's quite a bit of an increase.
Quite a bit.
Which this began in March of 1924, which the new building opened. So I guess the reopening of it was on October 17th, 1926.
Okay.
And the design was made by local renowned architect D.X. Murphy. I just thought that was cool. A little cool nod.
Yeah, I like that.
But they hired someone local to do it.
Yeah.
Over the following years, Waverly would become nearly self-contained. So, like, it was a community on its own, right?
Well, yeah, if you work there and you can't leave.
Right. But they ended up building laundry facilities, a maintenance garage, a butchery, as well as several hundreds of acres of farmland.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, so they're kind of like their own city there at that point.
Right. And it might be good for the tuberculosis patients that aren't feeling so shitty to go out and, like, garden and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, I would think so, right?
Because yeah, I mean, fresh air.
Yeah, you want to do something.
Yeah, and fresh air and
yeah,
something
unless to keep your morale up. I guess if you're feeling so shitty, then you probably wouldn't want to go do that. But yeah, you have to be definitely in a better state to be able to want to go do that.
For sure.
So after the introduction of streptomycin, I think I said that right, in 1943, that was finally their way to combat TB.
That's a long stretch, though.
Yeah, from 1910, when construction originally began.
Right.
To now 1943, except for that at 1949 was when Waverly Hills would start receiving this treatment.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so an even longer period of time.
Wow. That's
so
crazy.
That meant due to, like, the cure, if you will, or I guess, I don't know.
It's a treatment, yeah.
It's, sorry, I guess I can just read this next part because I have the cure, or, like, what it is, the streptomycin, down here. But I was just going to finish what I had right here. Just going to say that this treatment meant that newer cases could now be treated as outpatients in a regular hospital.
Okay.
Because they had this treatment now, which they didn't have.
Gotcha. So, it's like if you have strep throat or something and then you go on antibiotics for 48 hours, then you're not contagious anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. So streptomycin is an antibiotic that's used to treat, obviously, bacterial infections because TB is one.
Mm-hmm.
It's also used to treat Mycobacterium avium complex, endocarditis.
It's okay.
Thank you.
Just helping you.
Well, I have a long list of things here it treats. But what I really wanted to get to was plague and rat bite fever. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Gross.
It helps those things. No, I would die literally if I was ever near a rat, A. And B, if I got bit by a rat, like, just off me. I don't want a cure because then I'm going to have to see a rat again in my life. Any hoodles. It's used, I just thought it was cool that, like, they had something to treat rat bites because, like, God. I don't know if I've expressed this on the podcast. I hate rodents. I don't care how fucking cute your hamster is. Like, gross.
Wow. You've just alienated all of the rodent lovers.
I hate them. They're dirty. They're vile. They carry diseases. I hate them.
I think rats are pretty clean. And people that have rats say that they're super smart and they're clean.
I know.
And
they when like I was them. At dinner the other night, that's what I heard all night, that somebody had rats and they were so clean and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I really don't care. I was like, look, they're disgusting. They live in sewers.
They gotta eat. If they're wild, wild rats. Anyway, let's move off the rat chat.
They aren't wild. They're city rats at that point.
Well, you know what I mean. They're not pets.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. well, hamsters eat their young. So
oh, I know.
Yeah. So my little cousin was telling me about. Yeah.
I had it too. I had a hamster that one day had babies and then the next day she didn't.
Yep. It do be like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, for active tuberculosis, it's often given together with isoniazide.
I can't see.
Rifampicin.
I don't know.
Pyrazinamide.
Sure. I can't see.
Pyrazinamide.
Sounds reasonable.
It's administered by injection into a vein or muscle.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. People could also be mad at me because I think spiders are cool. So.
I like spiders.
We all have our differences.
Right. I don't. Yeah. As long as a spider doesn't get on me, that's cool. Because I like that they kill flies because I hate flies. You guys know if you've listened to the podcast, I fucking hate flies. They're disgusting.
She does. She really does.
I hate flies of all types. Regular flies, horse flies, fruit flies, any kind of fucking fly.
If it flies, she's done with it. No, except for if it's a Pegasus. She really likes Pegasus.
Well, and I like butterflies and moths and stuff. Just actual flies.
Okay.
Move on.
They both, okay, at the same time. So over the following years, obviously, not having this treatment available, Waverly Hills population is starting to severely decline, which is a good thing, right?
Yes.
That this treatment's available. But they ended up closing their doors in June of 1961.
So that's a good thing, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, it is a good thing, right?
Yeah, other than the unemployment rate that they created. But
so the building was reopened then in 1962 as Woodhaven Geriatric Center, which was a nursing home, which was treating aging patients is what it says online.
Yeah, that's a nursing home.
Yeah, well, I'm just telling you what it says.
Okay.
Who have various stages of dementia as well as limited mobility.
That sucks.
As well as people who are severely mentally handicapped.
All of that sucks.
Yeah. However, Woodhaven, it said that it failed greatly because they were understaffed and overcrowded. So I guess the people who worked at Waverly Hills didn't come back to work.
I guess there, not. Well,
if they're understaffed.
Yeah, I was going to say different medical backgrounds probably.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's more like a comfort. I guess they're both like comfort places though, right? They're both for comfortable living.
Right.
So Woodhaven, it was closed by the state of Kentucky in 1982 after a grand jury inspection found several patients like being abused.
Oh, that's horrible.
And like the buildings and stuff were just in like a totally bad, degrading state, like no upkeep to the place.
That's really sad. Why would you put a family member there?
I don't know. Well, they probably don't know about it, right?
Well, don't you take a tour?
You would take a tour, but I guess, I don't know. I don't know the reason. I don't know that if reasonably you could say that like a place whose paint is chipping off the walls versus, you know, if the roof was falling in, which that doesn't seem like the case that it was. It may seem like maybe there were like some leaks in the building, but not necessarily like, you know, the roof isn't caving in.
Right. I like how that's what you keep going back to. It has a roof. I got it. not caving in.
I'm saying, like, when I think of something that's like horribly degraded, I think of like walls falling in on themselves and the roof is caved in. But like paint chipping off walls, I don't think that'd be a family member's concern as long as the care is there. However, the care wasn't there because they found that some of the stories of mistreatment have been proven to be false, but others have like turned out to be true, like electroshock therapy, which was considered highly effective in those times, right?
Alrighty.
Yeah. So it was widely used there and therefore they shut down.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
In what year? 82?
So 20 years. They had a 20-year lifespan of it being that.
Because, I don't know, it seems like the electroshock therapy should be like way before the 60s, before they would be like, oh, hey, maybe it doesn't work. But whatever. Whatever.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
But maybe that's part of like the abuse thing that's being talked about.
Right.
Is that they're like, hey, this doesn't work. Well, we're going to abuse the fuck out of people and give them electroshock therapy.
So sad.
It's horrible.
So sad.
It's awful. So then the Simpsonville developer, his name was J. Clifford Todd. He bought the hospital in 1983 for $3 million. With not the roof falling in. He and architect friend Milton Thompson, they wanted to convert it to a medium security prison for the state, but the developers dropped the plan because the neighborhood, the surrounding areas protested.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we don't want this here. So Clifford and Milton ended up proposing that the hospital be converted into apartments then, but they counted on the Jefferson Fiscal Court to buy around 140 acres from them for $400,000 to give them money to start the project.
Mm-hmm.
However, that failed. That didn't happen for them. So in March of 1996, his name was Robert Alberhaske. He bought the Waverly Hills in the surrounding area.
Mm-hmm.
So Robert, he had his own business, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is a business, which was called Alberhaske's Christ the Redeemer Fountain, Inc. He wanted to construct the world's tallest statue of Jesus on the site.
Okay.
Along with, you know, like an art center and a worship center and like make it like a holy land, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
The statue, which was inspired by the famous one, Christ the Redeemer, which is in Corcovado Mountain in Rio de Janeiro, which it would have been designed by the local sculptor Ed Hamilton and architect Jasper Ward. The first phase of this development was roughly about $4 million.
Jeez.
And like it would have been, the statue would have been about 150 feet tall and 150 feet wide, which would have been situated on the roof of the sanatorium. See, it's there.
Well, how are you going to, the roof will cave in.
The roof will absolutely cave in. I'm not really sure the thought was smart going into it, but. Yeah,
seems like.
So the second phase to convert it into a chapel, theater, gift shop, the art center, all these things would have cost around $8 million or more.
Wow.
So the plan obviously fell through.
I like how
these people saying would have.
Right. Well, and I like how these people with all this money buy this and then they're like, oh, wait, we don't have any money to do what we want to do with it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
Right. That's not planning.
That isn't planning in the slightest. So it fell. You're going to probably laugh at this, how short it fell of its like expectations of these donations. $3,000 in 1 year.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, they're estimating that they're going to get like $4 million.
Wow.
And this was across the nation.
Wow.
That people are donating or not.
Yeah.
So
I have four pennies. Here you
right.
go.
So Robert abandoned Waverly Hills and then he was trying to recoup some of his costs, mm-hmm. obviously, because he spent all of his money buying this and then like didn't have any money to do what he really wanted to do on the grounds.
Eye roll.
He tried to have the property condemned so then the buildings could be torn down and redeveloped. But then this plan was blocked by the county and according to some rumors, demolition work was done around the southern edge of the building in order to undermine the structural foundations and then collect insurance money.
Wow. So this guy that wants to build this religious holy land also is going to do insurance fraud.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Real, real smart on his end.
Yeah, I got no comment.
So it was canceled roughly a year later, December of 1997, this whole project. So by 2001, the building had been, you know, obviously worn over time. Like, nobody's rebuilding it.
Right.
The elements, everything just is affecting this. And also, there were a bunch of people who broke into it looking for a thrill. It had become the local, quote, haunted house and was like a place where homeless people would go to, you know, look for shelter and teenagers looking for ghosts.
Okay.
Was just run down at this point. So after Robert's efforts failed, obviously, in 2001, it was purchased by Tina and Charlie Mattingly, and they still own it to this day.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So good on them.
Right. I'm like, they did some planning.
Yeah, they did. They hold tours of Waverly Hills, and in the spooky season times, months, they host a haunted house.
Nice.
With the proceedings going towards the restoration of the property.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So they're also restoring, they're restoring the windows. And obviously the rest of it, but I guess their current project is the windows.
Gotcha.
That's what's happening right now. It's what this money's going towards.
Okay.
So this is from their site, that the 2023 haunted house, the tickets for GA, which I'm guessing if you buy them online, their general admission tickets are about $25. And if you buy them at the gate for cash, it's $20. Or, this is funny, tickets for the RIP tour, not VIP, the RIP,
gotcha.
Which is a mini tour and a haunted house fast pass, sell for $65 or again at the gate, $60. The tours that they host are a 2-hour historical tour, which starts at $30, a two-hour paranormal tour, which starts at $30, 6 hours for public investigation, which I believe starts at $90.
Okay.
And 8 hours for private investigation, which I could only see its price during the month of October, and that was $1,500.
Wow.
Yeah.
But good on them.
Yeah. I couldn't find much information on this, but I saw this online. I couldn't, again, like, there just wasn't much to be found unless, like, I subscribed for $25 a month to this website. And I was like, we're not there yet in this podcast. Like, there was also a recent lawsuit between the owners, between the Mattinglys,
mm-hmm.
and the Waverly Hill Historical Society, which is a group that's led to take care of the property, which this group, the Mattinglys, founded.
What?
Yeah. So I don't really know what the fuck is happening there. I just thought it was, like, cool to include that.
Well, that's so odd.
Yeah.
Because they own it.
And then they founded this group. And then this group is, they're having a lawsuit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't really know what the fuck is up with that.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Same.
So Waverly Hills Sanatorium, they also hosted the last show of this festival that used to go around, which was called the Sounds of the Underground. And the last tour was there on August 11th, 2007. And it was like a metal and metalcore show. And I saw who performed there at the last concert. It was the band Job for a Cowboy, the Acacia Strain, Hatebreed, Shadows Fall, Chimera, G-W-A-R, Cameo, Lamb of God, and the number 12 Looks Good on You.
Okay.
And those were the bands that played the last show at Waverly Hills.
All right.
And it said that they're probably not going to happen again due to complaints. However, this was like the last time that this festival was like ever a thing, and the last concert at Waverly Hills.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting.
It is. I wonder if they could have like a classical concert or something.
I don't know. But
I'm just throwing it out there.
But I don't know why. You know how there's the sound limits on everything?
Mm-hmm.
Probably something to have to do with that people didn't like.
Right.
The noise.
Yeah.
They're probably like, damn, the ghosts are loud enough.
Well,
like,
and if you have that many bands, it's probably going on for quite some time.
Yeah. Well, it says it's a festival, so it's probably like an all-day thing.
Right.
A couple stages.
A lot.
Yeah, a lot happening. So I just mentioned ghosts. Let's jump into the fun part.
What?
Let's jump into the fun part of the episode that everyone came here for, was to hear about the ghosts. So it's believed that about more than 6,000 people died there.
I would imagine.
I don't know if this is, if that includes the geriatric center or if it doesn't, but... anyway, according to Dr. J. Frank Stewart, who was a former assistant medical director at the hospital, the highest number of deaths to occur at Waverly Hills in a single year was 152 people.
Oh, so that's not one a day.
Yeah, that's a year. Well, maybe that statistic was like in general.
Okay.
Like it was not
nationwide or something.
Yeah, not just at this hospital, gotcha. But like nationwide. So the first recorded death that I could find was a 16-year-old girl, and it was on January 10th of 1911. And according to the Kentucky Hospital Institution Index, which is an ongoing project, which is trying to gather all of the documents of the reported deaths, they're trying to complete this list.
Mm-hmm.
And it's broken down by years, but it doesn't include from the geriatric center. It was just of the people at Waverly Hills.
The tuberculosis patients.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it also says that this list is organized by death and not by name. So you can find them by the date, not by, like, it's not going to be an alphabetical order of the people. It's going to be by the date that they died.
Okay.
And it's broken down by years. It's kind of cool. That's where I found the first death.
It sounds cool.
I mean,
not death, but.
Yeah, no, this list and that people care enough to like look into things. Yeah,
exactly. I like that kind of research.
I do too. It was interesting. That's why I was like, oh, I like this. I was like, you know, this will be in the show notes. So if anyone wants to go have a look at it.
I do.
Yeah, you should. It's interesting. It's
I'm
cool.
I'm going to.
So the tunnel or the body chute is often the place where people experience the most ghosts.
Weird.
Right. Considering that local people and paranormal investigators gave it the body chute and the death tunnel name. So in 2017, there was an interview with the Courier Journal. English is rough tonight.
And every night for you.
Yeah. Every second of every day. It's rough. Tina Mattingly, who's the owner, right? She said that orbs and balls of light are believed to have been seen in the chute along with spirits. So this was an interview that she did for this magazine. And remember the ghost hunters who broke in before around 2001? Remember I mentioned that?
Yeah. Sorry. People looking for paranormal experiences.
Yeah. Yeah, gotcha. People looking for the experiences. So stories
ghost
began.
Ghost facers?
Yeah, ghost facers. You know it.
I do. Supernatural.
Yeah, love it. So stories began to circulate of resident ghosts, like a little girl who was seen running up and down the third floor, of the little boy who was spotted with the leather ball.
Aww.
The hearse that appeared in the back of the building dropping off coffins. The woman with
a ghost hearse?
A ghost hearse.
Wow.
The woman with bleeding wrists who cried for help and other different stories, which we'll get into. But visitors, they reported slamming doors, lights in the windows as if power was still running through the building, strange sounds and eerie footsteps in empty rooms. Yeah.
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 Cool, but not.
So other legends are that there's a man who's in a white coat who's seen walking in the kitchen, and that there's just like this smell of someone in there cooking that like wafts out the room and throughout the room.
Mm-hmm.
However, the kitchen was a disaster. It was like just all broken windows, fallen plaster, broken tables, chairs, puddles of water and debris from the leaking roof at this time. Huh. And so people said that, you know, this is probably a ghost.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely no one in there, which they all said it smelled like fresh baked bread.
Wow.
That
kind of stuff is so cool, I think.
I think it is, too. It's interesting.
Yeah, because, like, that's a ghost that has a lot of energy.
Yeah.
That can make something that smells.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that just got me to thinking when you're saying he has a lot of energy to make something that can smell.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if, like, in Ghosty Land, the kitchen is still complete and he really was making bread.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, not that the kitchen was incomplete, but obviously it was a tattered mess when people were saying that, you know?
Right, it wasn't.
When people were making these reports of this.
It wasn't a good cooking space.
Yeah, it wasn't anywhere you'd want to cook. Especially not fresh baked bread. You'd be like, is this flour or is this plaster? Is this flour or is this drywall?
We'll just put it in your milk to make it more white.
Oh, God, that's so nasty. I was going to say, we need to, like, pipe down on these food disturbing facts. But then I also thought to myself, well, we can't possibly do that. I was like, I feel like I would appreciate if we didn't do these anymore. But yours actually wasn't disturbing tonight because it didn't have anything to actually do with the food being disgusting.
Other than when it was first invented.
It's just the story behind it.
Right. And we don't drink milk anyway.
So like I said earlier, you know, they're restoring the building. Restorations are constantly taking place. And volunteers who work on these restorations have reported experiencing ghostly sounds, that they hear slamming doors. They see lights appear in the building when there should have been none. They've had objects thrown at them, and they were struck by unseen hands. And they see apparitions in doorways and corridors.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty haunted building, I
Very
guess,
active,
to say
it
the least.
Like.
Okay. So now we're going to jump into room 502.
Okay. A specific room.
A specific room.
Must be really intense.
So this floor of the hospital consisted of two nurses stations, a pantry, a linen room, a medicine room, and two medium-sized rooms on both sides of the nursing stations.
Okay.
So that's one of those rooms is room 502, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a rooftop room where it is believed that the hospital held TB patients who also experienced mental illness. However, this is just a speculation that if that's true, that if they actually did house them up there. But I feel like if you have TB, you probably have some kind of a mental illness developed throughout your course of having TB, right? Because you're secluded. There's not really shit anyone can do for you.
Yeah.
Like, it probably would make you be a little stir crazy.
Probably.
So I don't really know where that comes from, but it said it, but it also said it was a speculation.
Okay, gotcha.
So this is the room where two nurses allegedly took their own lives.
Hmm.
So according to the stories, a nurse was found dead in room 502 in 1928. She had committed suicide by hanging herself from the light fixture. She was 29 years old at the time of her death, unmarried and pregnant.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But there's no documentation because you said allegedly.
We'll get there.
Ugh.
So her depression over the situation led to her taking her own life. It's unknown how long she may have been in there before her body was actually discovered.
Ugh.
So there's conflicting accounts as to how the woman could have even managed to hang herself. Some people say that she did it from the light fixture. Others say that it's from like the pipe over the door. And some other people say it's from the rafters. Well, there are no rafters.
Okay.
There were never any rafters then.
It's not rafters.
The pipe over the door was part of the sprinkler system that was installed in 1972.
So, nope, that's not a thing.
And the light fixture is hung on a, like, decorative chain that wouldn't have been able to hold the weight of a person.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, maybe bullshit.
So, there's, like, no actual documentation, but it was verified, though, by a former staff member. Like, he backed up the story, and his name was John Thornberry, but he died in 2006. According to his obituary, he was born in 1922, which would have made him
7 years old.
Would have made him 6 and 10 between the time of the two deaths.
Okay.
Which makes his, you know, story a little
fishy.
Yeah. Maybe not necessarily true.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know what a between 6 and 10 year old would be doing there. Unless, you know, one of his family members was in the hospital and he was like in the child wing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know.
Yeah.
But any hoodles, let's move on to the other nurse.
Okay.
So in 1932, another nurse who worked on the same floor, apparently jumped from the roof and plunged all 5 stories to her death. No one seems to know why she had done this, but people think that she may have actually been pushed. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there documentation for this?
No.
Jeez, I hate that.
Yeah. So they're just rumors. but they're pretty good rumors.
They are.
They're juicy. Well, I mean, they're not good rumors.
Like, they're juicy.
They're juicy. Yeah.
They have some meat.
Yeah. Like they're good in the sense that like, yeah, ghosts.
Yeah. Adds to the
suspense, the horror factor.
The mystique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fear factor, if you will.
Yeah.
According to the stories, people have seen shapes moving in the windows, have heard disembodied voices, and have even witnessed people jumping to their own death.
Okay.
Or being pushed out a window.
Okay.
Yeah. And I have one last ghost story for you. Remember the boy with the leather ball?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess his name is Timmy. And tour guides say he spends the night looking for someone to play with him.
Aww.
And you can roll a ball down to him and it'll often be returned.
Ooh, that gave me chills.
That's our last one.
Oof, that gave me chills.
That's why I saved that one for last.
Thanks.
Because that's some real shit that's going on. That's a boss getting brought back to you.
Yeah, and that's some energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes energy. Poor little Timmy. Hopefully he's got ghost friends.
Right.
You just probably are not possessing enough energy like he is to pick up the ball, throw it,
aww,
or kick it.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah.
Although we don't know. You're just speculating.
Yeah, I am just speculating. Because, I mean, yeah, there were kids that were sick with TB.
Mm-hmm.
Like that girl that died, she was the first recorded death. 16, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I saw on the website that the only one I noted down was the first recorded death. Obviously, I wasn't going to mention all 6,000 of them. And there aren't even 6,000 on the list.
Okay.
Like, as of now, as of when I did this research, there were not 6,000 people on this list. But the youngest one I saw was like a month and a half old.
Aww.
Like a tiny little baby died.
That's so sad.
I know.
It's all sad.
And there were like 3-year-olds. Like, there were, you know.
Yeah.
It was a wide range of ages. Like, it was hitting everyone.
Yeah. There was no selection of age.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. It's really sad.
It is really sad.
So, well, thanks for that palate cleanser.
I needed something that wasn't...
Murder.
Murder. I needed something, like, spooky. Something bone-chilling.
Yeah. Well, that made me shiver at the end.
A different kind of... horrible awfulness. Because apparently I just really like awful things. Man, this is a palate cleanser. But as my own palate cleanser this evening, I will be watching Twilight's Eclipse. I'm on the third movie. As my own personal palate cleanser, I'll be going, Jacob, what the fuck? Edward, what the fuck? Bella, can you just like not?
Is this the one where Jacob has long hair?
No, that was the first one and the second one.
Okay.
He cut it in the second one.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just so dramatic. Yeah. I looked at my mom today and I go, I understand why when I was a kid you hated it.
I didn't hate it. It's just, I don't know. It's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of teenage angst.
It is a lot of teenage things. I actually think it's a great story. And my favorite podcast, which is called Chicks in the Office, they do these rewatcher series. So they did Harry Potter because one of the girls had never seen it before. And now they're doing Twilight. They're like really good friends with Taylor Lautner.
Oh, that's so funny.
Isn't that weird? Didn't I tell you this?
You did. I'm just, you know.
Yeah, it's weird.
I'm just stating that it's weird.
And funny and cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're awesome. They're like pop culture shit.
I need to listen to it at some point.
Yeah, they're a different good palate cleanser.
Okay.
It's so funny. I'm like, I can't watch murder shows anymore. I feel like I just surround myself with it too much until, like, I don't. And then I'm like, oh, I need to do a case on this.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, like, real life murder shows. I'm still totally freaking down for You season 5 when it comes out.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be on season 5.
It's going to be on season 5. And you're not even finished with season 2.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I made it through season 2.
Well, we got to get back on.
I guess. There'll be some blizzards this winter, most likely.
Yeah, but it looks like we're in store for a bad winter.
Maybe.
So expect a lot of podcasting.
Yeah. Well, the last one or the one before, we're bitching about the weather. I think the last one, how it was like 77 or something. And then the next day it was like 30. Now, same. It's been like so cold for the last couple of days. And then today it was like 70 and tomorrow it's going to be 80.
Yeah.
And it's October 16th.
Yes.
So welcome to Colorado.
I like how you looked at me to like, think about the date.
Carry
like,
the one. No.
Yeah, right. Basically. All right. Well, you can follow us on the gram at That's Disturbing Podcast. Send us a Gmail. That'sDisturbingPodcast@gmail.com. But before you do that, I'm going to simplify things for you. Go to That'sDisturbingPodcast.com and fill out a case request form if that's what you were going to send via Gmail. I just saved you like six whole steps. You're welcome. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.